Welcome back to Porto to Ascension and this exciting episode on the awakening of humanity. Today I have two amazing guests, two very special friends and experts, researchers, people who are really dedicated their lives to the awakening of humanity. And today's presentation and talk is going to be the cosmoplanetary evolution. And this is what we really want to hear, because we're moving into a new time, a new age, where the values of the old society don't apply to what's happening now. But we need to go back to our ancient history, which is really Egypt. Egypt is the mother of civilization. So.
And it was fun, Alan, because about a year ago or something like that,
yes,
we were all together for Portal to Ascension in Egypt. And yes, it was a great journey along the Nile.
It was. And JJ and Desiree have written a great book, just to start off, called Giza's Industrial Complex, which talks about the technologies of this great Egyptian civilization. So if we're going to move into the future, we have to know a little bit about the past.
Right. The Keys of Enoch, actually, in one of the keys, talk about how each of the temples along the Nile is like the opening of the chakra areas. And we know that even Egypt itself is one of the major, what we consider the major vortex on planet Earth. Although all the vortexes around the Earth, I believe, in the very near future are being activated. And that includes Mexico, that includes places in China, all over.
Sedona,
thank you.
So Desiree and I are Egyptologists, social scientists, remote sensing experts. That is to say, the using of spaceborne as well as ground-penetrating radar to look, at, for example, at the grid system here that you can see in the Giza Plateau,
yes,
while sitting on the top of the Great Pyramid of Egypt.
Okay, so this book, Giza's Industrial Complex, means industrial, means there was electrical power. First of all, how did they generate the power, and what did they use the power for?
Well, of course, the book itself says that they understood how to take water, in which they had plenty of along the Nile. In fact, every single major temple along the Nile actually had a causeway that went to the water area of the Nile. So in addition to that, we believe they were able to take the sun and be able to make hydrogen energy, which is a gas we use today even in agriculture. But we also believe it could have been used for light bulbs, because there's the Dendera light bulb, which actually people like Eric von Däniken have put together and shown that with the right gas, it'll light up.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, there is also the ability, I believe, to make hydrogen energy for ascension, where they could use some of this energy to make the Great Pyramid itself an energy conductor.
So we were able to locate, through ground-penetrating radar and our explorations in the 1980s and 90s, the actual subsystems that were there, not only at Giza, but also along the whole Nile system.
But I have to say, right now, and this has all come out in the year 2024, that scientists have said they've used water, mm-hmm, to build the Great Pyramid. And now, because we also show it in the book, that the Saqqara Pyramid, the step pyramid of Djoser, which is considered the oldest pyramid, if you look inside, it's not just a bunch of chambers. It's actually almost something that looks like smokestacks. And they've taken these to use, and you can go research the data, that they were using a type of water pump to build the pyramid. I don't think it's just all about building. I think it's about the energy that they were extracting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This might be a little off topic, that they just found a lot of water on Mars, and there happens to be pyramids on Mars. Do you think there's an association, JJ?
Definitely. In my book, The Keys of Enoch, mm-hmm, which some of you are aware of, published in 1973, I have the actual pictures of these gigantic pyramids in the Elysian Quadrangle of Mars. That was given to me as a result of my prediction that pyramidal geometries would be found on the surface of Mars through remote viewing experiments. But also, it answers your question, Alan, that there's a connection between the pyramidal civilization on Mars and in Egypt. And this is why the Arabic name for Giza is called Al-Kahira, which means in Arabic, the spacious one, or Mars. So linguistically, historically, in terms of sacred geometry, there are parallel connections that are very profound.
Right. So what can we learn and apply today from these ancient civilizations?
Well, first of all, it can give us a new energy technology. People are looking at hydrogen, they're looking at water technology, aspects of the two coming together. And I believe it can literally save the planet. That's one thing. In fact, cotton is one of the ways to filter and make hydrogen. And, of course, the Egyptians are famous for their Egyptian cotton.
So they had basically proto-battery systems making use of cotton filters.
But let's take a look, really. Let's go take one step further. And let's look at the area of, really, of Luxor, where you have the tomb of the kings and the queens. And you see these solar boats. And in addition to that, and Alan, this is really where your thoughts come in a lot, is that you look up there and you see reptilian beings. You see cat-faced beings. You see human-like beings. I believe that they had this technology, really, from higher sources.
So in addition to technology, the Egyptians give us, as well as the people and cultures of the Far East, a greater cosmology, that we're not alone in the universe, a greater sense of respect for different forms of life, and also a sense that this, so we say, sacred architecture of the pyramid has within it a concept of being able to sublimate energy and use it to raise consciousness.
But what Desiree brought up about the different planetary races, this is the topic of the talk, cosmoplanetary. So we have been influenced by other planetary races, and Egypt was probably a central meeting place of all these old off-planet civilizations.
I affirm what you just said.
Okay.
Egypt was the place, and this is why you have so many different shrines or sacred areas commemorating those life forms that come from our sister planets and even extrasolar intelligence far beyond our planet from the region of Orion.
One more thing I want to ask you both about Egypt, because when we were there last year, I noticed there were two distinct styles of building. There was the huge megalithic stones without any hieroglyphics, and then there was the dynastic Egypt, which was full of intricate hieroglyphics. So is it true there were these two distinct civilizations, maybe separated by 10,000 years?
Well, we definitely think that probably the very builders of the huge megalithic blocks were either associated with, as we were saying, extraterrestrial, or what we also call ultra-terrestrial intelligences, or also Atlantean. Now, there's a good chance that the people of Atlantis were in communication with these beings that we're talking about as well. They just had a different culture. And what was happening, in a certain sense, obviously, was the misuse of information. And this is where the ancient Book of Enoch comes in, that there were giants, that there were influences from the sons of God, as it's called, even in the Bible.
Egyptology is pushing the envelope of history much further back, and some of these pyramids would reflect a much earlier cycle before the dynastic period, going back some 20,000 plus years, as opposed to that which was generated in the fourth dynastic period.
Right, just jump over to Australia for a minute. Just north of there is an area called Java, and we know at one point that Java and Australia was actually closer, that it wouldn't take so much to get from one place to the other. But in Western Java, there's a pyramid which right now they're trying to put down, but they've done years and years and years of research. They say that pyramid, Gunung Padang, is 27,000 years old and that it's been built in several stages. So I think that that's just showing you that what we see in Egypt is not unique in any way, shape, or form. I mean, that actually Mexico tends to be more contemporary than many of the other structures.
More modern, the pyramids of Mexico. But let me go back to what you just said about these inequalities among races and how they came here, which gets us back to a Gnostic understanding, and that's also in your book, Pista Sophia, where there's been an influence by, let's say, negative archonic forces manipulating human beings.
That's right.
And talk about that, because it starts in Egypt with the Gnostics, but it also goes back to ancient Egypt, and now we're seeing its face again in modern age.
Well, Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means higher knowledge, going back to the 2nd century BC all the way into the present time. But we're finding evidences such as at Nag Hammadi that there was a whole library of Gnostic documents, over 54 documents that speak volumes of separate parallel traditions of how history was observed and contained, as we find within the fifth book of the Pista Sophia, which means in Greek, faith and wisdom working together, the outline of beings that had cat faces, that had reptilian faces. And so it's there in the Pista Sophia text, which some call it the lost teachings of Jesus to his disciples.
But what's interesting, Epistle Sophia texts that were found in Egypt, even though they're considered a Christian cosmology, and they are. But I want to just say, which we often say, we live in a world of duality. And ultimately, that means, and we consider, that those who are around us are just like us in terms of their consciousness. Some are great, they're sages, they're saints, they're, you know, totally tuned into higher consciousness, which is the theme, the underlying theme of this conference. And we all can be underlying tied in to that higher spiritual consciousness. But at the same time, there are beings that are self-willed, and this is the heart of Pisces Sophia, that the self-willed ones want their independence. They want their separation. They want to be who they are, and they don't care anything else that goes on in the universe. So I think we have to see the two sides of the world we chose to be in. And this goes back, of course, even to the eating of the tree of, you know, good and evil. I mean, we are living in a dualistic state, and it's not limited to this planet. That's what's so important.
It's not limited to this planet. You mean it's throughout this level of cosmos?
Yeah, absolutely.
When do we graduate from duality?
Or how do we graduate?
And how do we graduate?
Well, this is the intersection or interaction that we're now facing as we begin to understand what has been taking place with the American government, really behind the scenes, coming forth and acknowledging through his top scientists and even reports of its previous astronauts like Gordon Cooper in his book Leap of Faith, that we're not alone in the universe. How do we juxtapose this higher cosmo, planetary ecology, evolution with the human in a postmodern world? We do it through racing consciousness. We do it through new discoveries that are synthesized and brought together in terms of a greater synthesis or blueprint of life.
Yeah, but we're so used to duality, man, woman, night, day, good, bad. What will replace duality?
Love and the vibration of seeing that we have both the left and right hemisphere working together. One side, the analytical, which is the left side, the female, which is the multidimensional right side. They have to come together in marriage. This was the overall theme that united the mystics, the thinkers, even the Christian Gnostics with those from the other Oriental cultures who said our ancestry points to the heavens. We were born of the spirit of the heavens, and ultimately we will be returned to the heavens in a post-physical form of consciousness.
And when you merge the right and left hemispheres of the brain, you're kind of breaking through the limitations of the duality within us. Mm-hmm. So when you merge that, you're able to get into what we would call the oneness, or in some cases, the Trinity power, because we're coming into that higher gnosis. But in addition to that, really, and we were talking about this a little bit with our other friends, Alan, you may recall, that so if you're on this level, you're always getting feedback from the local heavens. You're always getting feedback from, you know, either someone who died or someone who's, you know,
whatever's in the environment is what Bruce Lipton talks about.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what do? We need to really reach beyond this local level of thinking, and we have that ability. We are an Adamic species, male and female. I don't just put Adam being masculine. And we have the ability to connect with our higher selves. Right. And when we do that, we bring forth that information, and so we get beyond the duality.
That's why we have been traveling the country teaching remote viewing to many people, because it's obvious evidence that consciousness is non-local, and we are the non-local consciousness in these avatar bodies. So,
and
yes.
Remote viewing, of course, was championed by the great thinkers at Stanford Research Institute, Harold Pudoff and Russell Targ and others, who showed that the human consciousness has the ability to be non-local. This, to me, is the greatest revelation since the splitting of the atom, the understanding of relativity, that we are capable of mental extension as well as projection in other dimensional realities. And this will be the new science of consciousness that will update so much of what has been missing in the past.
It also goes back to the other point I made about duality, transcending duality. You can't be in duality and have non-local awareness. You have to be present in these other realms. So it's only with the presence of mind, which is the perception of the right brain, that we transcend duality into the oneness of a bigger creation.
And with that, of course, is the energy current or the energy breath that goes with this. This is why we find in Western and Near Eastern and Eastern philosophy, psychology, the importance of understanding the prana, the breath, open the seven seals, the seven chakras. This is what we found in Egypt, Ellen, and you were there with us.
Yes.
We realized that the pyramids would vibrate according to certain acoustics. There was acoustical physics with every pyramid along the Nile, suggesting, as the keys of Enoch tell us in a blueprint, that this is a whole blueprint within us, the temple of spirit within us that we must open and vibrate with if we are to go simply beyond words and concepts. No, we must go into a new energy field of rediscovery of who we really are.
Right, so the Egyptian temples were really temples of initiation. Even if they used technology, even if they were places of making energy, they were still places of initiation. And that initiation was to take us back to the stars, to Orion. And, you know, we talked about pyramids around the Earth, but actually, according to Dr. Hertak's unique experience that he had in 1973, there's also kinds of vortex points in the heavens.
Oh, really? And,
yes.
Where are they?
Well, Orion is one of them, and that's why it looks like it does, even from our perspective. If you were somewhere else, it probably wouldn't even look like that.
In terms of heavenly astrophysics.
You mean the belt of Orion.
The belt
the three
of
stars,
Orion.
Which the Arabic scientists call Mintak Anotak and Analam. But then above and below those three major stars, we have geometric forms, which for the ancients were like an hourglass that composed the higher blueprint of life.
Yeah, so you have like a pyramid on the bottom mixing with a pyramid on the top. And what's interesting is even some of you have maybe watched Skinwalker Ranch.
Right, right, right.
Well, some of the recent episodes, they found two pillars on both sides. That would be like obelisks in Egypt. And then they found this conic section.
Where did they find that?
Well,
at Skinwalker?
Well, it's an energy force that they're starting to pick up on. So they can feel and see, starting to see, this is, of course, through electronics and sensors, the fact that there is a kind of vortex energy there as well. So, of course, there's no physical structure. In fact, it's pretty much in the middle of what they call the triangle, which I think is an interesting scenario. But ultimately, that doesn't mean it's a higher vibration. It just simply means there's a vortex point, and there's vortex points all over this planet.
In the heavens, you know, Adam Apollo talks about some of that, how these spaceships travel from vortex points to vortex. But also the section of the sky where Orion is, within 30 degrees each way, that we have Sirius and the Pleiades. So there may be, maybe we've come from that section.
Well, the indigenous of North America acknowledge this, as Desiree can explain, in terms of their geometry.
Well, I just want to go back for a minute. So if you look at the Great Pyramid, and I'll show you a picture here, that the Queen's Chamber, many people say at certain times, it's not 100% of the time, aligns to Sirius, which is the feminine aspect, which is why it's called
Isis,
the Queen's Chamber. But it's a star Sirius. You go to the King's Chamber, and Dr. Hertak had this back in 1973, that the King's Chamber aligns to Orion. That's been shown as well. And then if you take Sirius and Orion, you go up is exactly what you've been saying in the Lakota.
Go to
the Pleiades. So what's the Pleiades? Well, I just want to go back to Orion for a minute, because Orion itself is the vortex that can take us between this reality, this dualistic system, into higher realities that are beyond dualism. It's a major part. And many people say that there's a struggle with Orion. Well, there's a struggle if you look around the planet, pretty much everywhere, that there's a vortex, because there's these energies trying to control
the
vortex.
What does it mean there's a vortex? Is it a doorway to other realities, other
dimensions?
Ultimately,
they are. Okay. And
so that's a star map where you see the Great Pyramid, Sirius, the Pleiades arranged in a line, a direct vector. And you find this repeated also with the Mayan cosmologist.
So what's the Pleiades? Well, the Pleiades, according to the Keys of Enoch, is the cradle and throne of our consciousness.
Who says that?
The Keys of Enoch.
Oh, the Keys of Enoch. You wrote that, JJ, in 1973.
As a result of my contact with higher intelligence.
What does that mean, then?
Well, it means that, you know, we're talking about here we are on Earth, but ultimately we are also in the heavens. And I think when people look at extraterrestrial realms of intelligence, they see the little, you know, gray men. I won't say green men, but they're usually gray. They see the reptilians. They see, you know, all the different forms that people have seen, but they also see us. And that's what's really exciting, because we exist not just on this planet, we exist in the heavens, and our genetic code, which the Keys also talk about, comes from a higher code structure. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so important to keep our code structure, and that's why, and Linda Mullen-Hell also talks about this, some of the ET races actually want our code structure.
So
they
we are the result of a cosmic linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
higher vibratory processes which pre-shape the biological code that gives us the DNA, RNA. Within our body, we are a walking star. The ancients thought of this. We are here, but we also are embedded within a star system that we can see that's alive, that is the basis of what we would call the extraterrestrial, the ultra-terrestrial forms of life.
We've been given this DNA code system as well from other extraterrestrial races.
No, well, you
this
know...
This is what some people say.
Okay, that
I'm not saying you say
no,
it, but...
Well, no, that's, let's talk about
other
this.
People
this
say,
is very
yes,
important,
good.
Because people talk about the Anunnaki.
Yes,
who
yes,
did
yes,
all that.
Yes.
So we are obviously more traditionalist in terms of the Judeo-Christian understanding, and we'll throw in the Muslim as well, because they come back from our cosmology of early writings from Moses, etc. But ultimately, it said that we come from higher realities, mm-hmm. and we chose to come here, and at that time, we took on garments of skin. And before that, we didn't have that. So we believe that, and what Dr. Jack was shown in his experience, is that we had like light bodies, light beings, and they looked just like us. I mean, we were all...
But there was this extra thing that seems to came out of no sense of evolution.
Well, people talk about that. You know, they say we're so similar to monkeys. We're actually similar to pigs as well. But ultimately, you know, I say when you make a car, you don't go and put new materials in. You still use the metal and the rubber and all the other stuff that
evolution,
goes into it.
Yeah,
so it's a matter of the code structure. It's a matter of the design. And our design is unique. Now, some people say, you know, there's just a little tweak and we would be, you know, literally monkeys or, you know, chimpanzees or whatever. And, you know, we do note that were very similar to all these different forms. Again, they use the same chemical structure, but our unique design is a reason why we would see angelic messengers that look like us. They're not shape-shifting. Some of them are, of course, to be like us, but many of them have our image, have our form.
Did they come first or did we come first?
They came first. That's the point.
And they lowered their vibration to become human in body?
Well, we chose to come into this realm of duality, and this realm of duality has all these other species in it, some of which are, you know, enlightened, and some of which are struggling to be enlightened.
So think of it this way. The ancient scriptures, the foundation of what we call ancient Near Eastern and Western civilization, speak of the day of creation, the time period of 6 days. There were other experiments of life in those first 5 days, which could be tens of billions of years each. But on the sixth day, the human race, as the Adamic race, came into reality as a higher synthesis of being able to balance and recreate, co-create with the other experimental realities around it. We represent a higher synthesis, according to the keys of Enoch, of how body, mind, and spirit can come together to trinitize or go beyond the duality. The higher trinitization is the higher consciousness that is missing in Western reductionistic, materialistic science. That higher consciousness is there out of love, of artistic vibration, as well as spiritual endowments, of realizing we are working with the universal intelligence.
Right, so it's important to realize that there are these other forms and that we are on par, if nothing else, with these other extraterrestrial levels of intelligence. And they do want our... Linda's Moulton Howe saying this? They want our soul.
Though some people say that. She hasn't proved that. And I don't know if that's true. But even though we're on par, we're about to make a huge evolutionary leap to this other level of being, where the lower-level ETs will not be able to touch us because we'll be beyond their vibration.
And that's the moment of excitement.
Yes.
We're at a moment of making a choice to go with what the keys of Enoch call the higher evolution, those that have consciousness that is positive, co-creative, and work in harmony, versus the lower dualistic consciousness that is in competition, acquisition, and even destruction of the planetary resources that are used unevenly, without harmony, without compassion. So the message of Enoch and Metatron, in the keys of Enoch, is see the larger blueprint of life, understand the ancient meaning we find throughout the world of sacred geometry, particularly the pyramids, which represent the vortex of the energy code within and without human form, and thoroughly recognize that there is a salvatory or liberation mechanism we all have, a raising consciousness that comes through the higher synthesis a mind, body, and spirit working together.
So I'd like to say a few things. First, the pyramids around the world, the vortex, are really, most of them, vortex points. And they work in a type of grid system. And that system was given to this planet because at the, what we would call the omega phase, we have the alpha, the beginning, and the omega phase, they get activated.
We're at the omega phase now, you're saying?
Yes, at least for this particular cycle. And then it goes on into vortexes that not only are this way, but also come down. And
from the heavens.
Yes, and make this opening grid structure so we actually can consciously, and in some cases physically, ascend.
Will there be a moment in time where that opening occurs? Or is it happening now?
It's happening at this time. This is why we're having government disclosures throughout the world that you're part of.
Right.
This is why we're having testimony from astronauts. We work with astronaut Gordon Cooper, and he told me that he saw a flotilla of spaceships while he was over Germany as a test pilot in 1951. This is the time of what Christians also refer to as the rapture, or mystics refer to as the coming of the greater intelligence, the externalization of the hierarchical forms of cosmic intelligence, but it's the combination of the cosmic, the planetary, the ecological, the interdimensional, all together that give us a sense of new being, the greater reality that we are. We are avatars or proto-evolutionary beings waking up with a new assignment to see and to participate in the greater universe, that Jesus, the Christ, called the house of many mansions.
So we're really emissaries of light. But now I want to take you in a little slower path of how can we raise our consciousness?
That's what I wanted to ask you. No, really, serious.
We always think alike.
Right. most of the time.
Anyway, so there's different ways. And that's why I said the pyramids are states of initiation. Now, the body sitting in a state of, we'll say, the lotus position creates its own pyramid. And so that's one state of meditation where we can tune in and even see a pyramid capstone over our heads to reach out into our higher bodies and also reach into the stars of understanding the cosmos and let our spiritual guides reach to us because they are willing to do it at any time. In fact, Anita Morjani, who's been on this program in the last days, is also talking about the fact that when she was on the other side, she saw how joyous those beings were when we said, we want to be in alignment with you. We want to know from you. We want to connect with you.
So we don't want to talk all abstractly. I brought with me a picture from Mexico where we did work at the pyramids. You can see paraphysically a type of dove manifesting with a beam of light. Mm. But the pyramid is a type of vortex where we said vibratory mantras, becoming aware of the energy flux and flow. With this energy, suddenly higher realities would manifest briefly, standing columnar waves of energy. This happened while we were also in Egypt, 1990s.
This is the Grand Gallery.
Of the Great Pyramid, you see a golden beam of light that fills the gallery as a result of ancient Egyptian Hebrew mantras that I was uttering and manifesting through song celebration. So these geometries are vortexes not only for, shall we say, the paraphysical, but also the musical and the artistic under the right circumstances. We enter into the geometry itself and we are transformed.
So another way, and of course all of them work together, to achieve that higher consciousness state is really to ask and get gifted, literally, because they're willing to gift us, from the highest dimensions, even from the power of the divine, to give you greater insight. And I think we need this now on this planet, because the more we make our right decisions, and duality really is a tool for decision-making within each of us.
But give these people now practical information that they can use to change their life and change their vibration.
Well, so first is meditation.
Okay.
Second is receiving information, realizing that we have higher sources that are willing to communicate with us, to help us. Mm-hmm. We have to make our own decisions. There is free will, and it's up to us to decide. But information about where we need to be and should never come from anybody else. It should come from your own higher guidance, and you should test it from time to time as well. Now,
how would you test it?
Well, I mean, sometimes you say, okay, I felt I should do this. Did it turn out right?
Right.
It could be done through biofeedback, as we did with Morton Subotnick, the father of the first electronic symphony. To put it another way, there has to be intention, extension of consciousness, and then synergy of bringing the right people together. So choose your colleagues and friends carefully, because you want to radiate love. You want to experience compassion in all directions. You want to forgive and move on with the greater cosmology. This requires a selective factor of realizing the joy and purpose of life is to go simply beyond the analytical into the experiential side.
Right, so I'd like to introduce two more steps.
Please.
One, we use sacred names, and that helps in the calling forth of those energies. And you can just use the Om if you wish, but even the Om Mani Padme Om really means you recognize the divine, the jewel, in the lotus, the unfolding of the essence of life. Mm-hmm. So there's different aspects. We would use, as we did in the Great Pyramid, we've used Egyptian names, we've used certain sacred names like Elohim, or in the Greek,
Theos and Christos.
And what's an Egyptian word that we know?
Well, we were using powers like Ma'at as calling forth the Divine Mother. So these are aspects. We'll do this at the end. We'll use a little Egyptian and maybe mix that with others. And then a final aspect that Dr. Jack just brought up, and that is find your spiritual family. Mm. Because if you think about the other side, they actually work in much greater harmony than we do.
They work as a team.
Some of them, the higher levels.
Yeah, the higher levels is what we're talking about.
Right.
But that makes the difference.
Right.
And so we're, by being individualistic, by saying, you know, it's only me, you guys don't have anything to do with me, and I'm, you know, I don't like what you said, I don't like what you think. You know, that's the separation. So the idea of coming together collectively and understanding each other is really what brings together the higher vibration. So finding your spiritual family and being able to get along with them actually builds our ability to activate ourselves in our higher states of consciousness.
So before the meditation, I'd like to ask one question of you both. What does the future look like? What will people be like in the future? What does the post-awakening world look like to us humans?
Humans will go through what I will call some very high-level changes with climate change, with planetary change. We point this out in the Keys of Enoch. Same time, during this period, there is the coming harbinger of life over the horizon. And the indigenous elders that we have worked with realize that there is a helping hand coming down. In Christian cosmology, we would call this the coming of the higher master teachers of life, the Christed ones, or those anointed with higher love, purpose, wisdom that interact with the human race. So those who are able to sublimate their energy and have the great love and joy and purpose will connect on a higher vibration with those that will open what we call the fifth dimension.
And then what will that look like to us?
It means that our minds, our bodies will have an energy glow, an experience of light, an experience of tremendous miracle-working talent. We will understand that every day is a miracle at work, and we will be able to join the galactic family, or what some would call the intergalactic family of nations,
right,
cosmic intelligence, in Hebrew, the B'nai, or the sons and daughters of light, into a fellowship of trust and the regeneration of life.
So we may not be just like we are here. I mean, we are limited, and sometimes we can get insights. But in our next phase, and I think the future is bright, especially when we learn to work together, to share together, then we are able to function not only on the three-dimensional level, but also on the fifth-dimensional level, and even, we would say, the eighth of the 12th-dimensional level. In fact, our work with remote viewing shows that we already are or have the ability to work with the eighth dimension.
Well, I was going to say that the availability of the awareness of non-local consciousness is already a shift into this fifth level and this higher humanity that we're beginning to embrace.
So if we go back now to Egypt, just as a wrap-up, we understand that we are one part of many species that exist in the greater universe, and the whole idea is to be able to function together, to understand together, to help each other out, and to share together. And
for what reason? What is the ultimate reason of incarnation?
Well, I think the ultimate reason is literally to transform energies of separation into energies of unity.
Well, to bring the divine spark into human resonance and to raise consciousness.
And hopefully everyone watching has a sense of this ability, because we're all in this together. We're all taking lots of what people have said on this whole seminar and applying them to our lives. And the Hertogs have been doing this since 1973. So look at their information. Look at their books, The Keys of Enoch, Book of Knowledge, a fantastic Bible for multidimensional realities, I would say.
So with that, Dr. Chai, can you start a meditation that we'll all share in?
I'm going to go with the ancient Egyptian, we are the light, to be the light, I am the light. Anu aripata, 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 anu aripata. Seven times for the seven seals. I would like to also do this with the ancient Hebrew Aramaic. Adonai Shema, 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 Adonai Shema.
And let us affirm that together, that as we sit in meditation, we are being heard. Meditation is not just about us, although we can go within and find that oneness, that inner joy, that inner compassion, that inner love. But meditation is also about opening the vortex to higher realms of intelligence, to let us also connect with our spiritual guides, our spiritual family, some of which is not on this earth, and also with the divine. We can, because of who we are, as the Adamic species that is prevalent also in the universe, reach beyond even the stars of Orion into the cosmic heaven. Let us see the capstone of light glowing over our heads. We are the capstone to the Great Pyramid. We are the activation points to the pyramids of Mexico. We are the activation points even in China, where they also have the Xi'an Pyramid and other pyramids. Let us activate all these with peace, love, and joy, and see the dove radiating around our globe.
These ancient mantras connects us to an ancient part of ourselves, because we didn't evolve from the apes into consciousness. We descended from the higher realms into these forms. So saying these sounds, connecting to the ancient past, connects us to our ancient soul that is here to finally wake up and take command of the human incarnation and call for our own power to create the world, the society, the civilization that will be a hope for everyone. We are the ancient initiates coming home to who we've always been, just been covered with the mask of civilizations, and now our true form, our true essence of being is emerging, so we can live in the new realities of this future time.
As the Keys of Enoch tell us, we are the architects of the new dawn.
And we are not separate. We are here together, to be together, to share together. And so let us say together the Om Shanti. We'll just do those two words and vibrate with them. Om obviously is that universal sound. Shanti is peace. Please join us as we send peace throughout the planet, wherever it's needed, right now.
Seven times.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.
This is a cry for universal peace. The Om, the universe, the Shanti, the peace. We're calling out that we may uplift our vibration with new knowledge, new energy, and a new form of the human incarnation.
Let us go forth into new being. Let us see the marriage of the cosmic and the planetary humanity. Let us take upon ourselves the great responsibility of being initiators of those who seek the higher work of the House of Many Mansions. And so it is, and so it will be. World without end, universe without end, worlds beyond without end, immortal soul without end. Amen, 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 and amen.
Thank you so much, Doctors JJ and Desiree Hertog. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities and Portal to Ascension. Hope you enjoyed this. If you want to find your information, where would you go?
We're at keysofenoch.org, and we have it in many languages.
And JJ, thank you for your time and commitment. You've been on this for many, many years, and we appreciate that. Thank you,
Dan. Blessings to all of you.
And thanks, Alan, for being with us.
Of course. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Thanks so much for watching.
Wow, that was beautiful and incredible. I love Alan so much. It's just, that was amazing. Such an amazing interview. And the awareness that comes from JJ and Desiree is incredible. I love them all. If you're interested in joining Alan, JJ, Desiree, and a lot of other speakers that are here on the conference, on the cruise, galacticorigincruise.com, galacticorigincruise.com. But I'd love for you guys to chime into the chat what you thought of that presentation. Honestly, I thought that was epic. It was incredible.